Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Alleged cognitive decline. Alleged. Holy cow. Is my headphones too loud or is my microphone too loud? All right, Caden, tell me if I got to turn this microphone down. Maybe it's just my headphones. I think our engineer was in here checking some things out. So, hey, that's all right. I'm just surprised you guys are hearing me right now because I had to go down and get a cup of coffee. I was like, I am not starting the show without a cup of coffee. So I was thinking, you know, the music might be rolling, dee, 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 and then it just might go quiet for a little bit. But then I'll be here because I just had to fill up my coffee cup here this morning, you know, and then we can get the show rolling here. But luckily, I had the Montana Talks app on my smartphone, so I was listening to the news update as I was refilling my cup of coffee there. Did you hear a couple of reports that I figured we just have to start with here? Joe Biden's alleged cognitive decline. There was a hearing in the United States Senate yesterday focused on really one of the biggest presidential corruption scandals in American history. And what Joe Biden did to this country, but really, did Joe Biden even know what was going on? But I just had to laugh. On Joe Biden's alleged cognitive decline. This is another one of those, on his alleged, it is blatantly obvious to everybody that Joe Biden had cognitive decline. I mean, I guess you could say it's alleged cognitive decline because the real debate is, was he ever really that with it to begin with? And how far back did he actually have it before he really lost it? I mean, that's a legitimate question, but alleged cognitive decline. But I tell you what, though, the Senate Democrats, this was probably the smartest thing they have done in a long time. I'm trying to think when Senate Democrats did something this smart. Did you hear about, so there was a Senate hearing focused on really this massive presidential scandal involving Joe Biden's cognitive decline and who was really running the White House, who was really authorizing the use of the auto pen to sign off on thousands of pardons and all sorts of other insane decisions. And the Democrats, the Senate Democrats, didn't even show up. Or if they showed up, you know, like Dick Durbin, he's about as lost in the sauce as Joe Biden is. Dick Durbin's like, he showed up, made some remarks, and then he got the heck out of there. Here's the thing. This is one of the smartest things Senate Democrats have done in a long time. They didn't even show up. They didn't even mount a defense. They didn't even they wanted to have nothing to do with that because they know what a scandal it is. They know what a train wreck the Joe Biden regime was for this country. Now, they don't want to admit it. They certainly don't want to be on camera trying to defend it any more than they already have. So they just completely chickened out and didn't show up at all. Now, what does that tell you? It says Senate Republicans, House congressional investigators, and more double down, press even further. Senate Democrats just told you everything you need to know, that not only is there smoke, there is fire when it comes to the Joe Biden cognitive decline and the deliberate harm they caused to this country and the potential illegality behind the use of that auto pen. Did Joe Biden really even know what was going on? Did he even authorize it? Where is the chain of custody evidence showing that the president of the United States authorized the use of that auto pen for all those pardons and all those other decisions? And did some of these people in the Biden regime cash in on the pardons they signed off on?
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies for today, a late day shower storm is possible towards Bozeman. Otherwise, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-80s in Bozeman or the low 90s in Billings. For tonight, chance for scattered storms, especially towards Bozeman. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures back to the mid-50s to around 60. Chance for storms Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America. A Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing Wednesday looked at the state of NATO prior to this year's NATO summit, which takes place in days. Dr. Alina Polyakova, the president of the Center for European Policy, testified that the U.S. remains the essential NATO partner And
the alliance remains central to the vital national security interests of defending the U.S. homeland.
Republican Senator James Risch of Idaho spoke about NATO's challenges.
Our alliance faces unprecedented threats from a rising China, a belligerent Russia, and rogue actors in Iran, North Korea, and elsewhere.
Peter Rao, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institute, took that sentiment further.
As NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte put it rather dramatically last week, Europe now faces a choice. Either invest in defense or learn to speak Russian.
The NATO summit is June 24th and 25th in the Netherlands. Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I was going to start off by playing immediately a soundbite from Mike Davis with the Article 3 project, and then I had to restart the old little audio file player here on my computer. Let me see if this one will now work for us. Mike Davis with the Article 3 project was on Laura Ingraham's program last night talking about this major news out of the Supreme Court of the United States. And, you know, we had such a busy show yesterday as the news was breaking. Otherwise, man, we could have spent the rest of the morning talking about the big Supreme Court decision that came out. Basically, the United States Supreme Court officially weighed in and is supporting Tennessee's ban on these radical transgender experiments on kids. The leftists call it, they refer to it as gender affirming care. Really, it's gender mutilation surgeries and just some of these life altering treatments and experiments that they want to perform on these kids. And Tennessee, like Montana, says, no, you're not going to do this stuff. You're not going to abuse kids like this. And the Supreme Court of the United States just affirmed Tennessee's law. Now, remember, in Montana, we've got a law just like Tennessee has. And my wife, by the way, Jessica, works for the Alliance Defending Freedom. They have been leaders all across the country in this regard to protect kids from this insanity. And so, anyway, great work by them. But Montana's got a similar law on the books. But remember, we've got radical LGBTQ, RSTLNE judges in Missoula and elsewhere in a far-left Montana Supreme Court that is already standing in the way of protecting kids from these radical transgender experiments. So the big question is, what will now happen now that the Supreme Court of the United States has weighed in and supported this Tennessee law? Could that eventually override any of this judicial tyranny that we're seeing here in Montana? That'll be interesting. But here's what Mike Davis had to say about any of these, you know, so-called doctors or facilities that do these transgender experiments on kids.
Yeah, it's monstrous. These people who are performing these surgeries on these kids who could not give informed consent for these pills and surgeries are monsters.
Yeah, he's exactly right. Exactly right. Well said there by Mike Davis. All right. Hey, we got a caller already on the phone lines here. So let's jump into the phone lines here. We can talk more about that story and others here throughout the hour. But let's go to Jan in Bozeman, listening to 1450 KMMS. Jan, apparently the Gallatin County Commissioners are up to it again. What are the Gallatin County Commissioners up to now?
Well, recently the commission decided to give a cost of living raise. Started out at 3%, and then after some heartfelt and very knowledgeable testimony from local officials in our county, they granted 6%. So recently on Tuesday, they had a open forum commissioners meeting, and on one of the line items was an increase in salary for our county administrator. Now, currently, I understand he makes about $185,000, but the raise would take him to almost $210,000 plus the 6% cost of living increase. Now, most of my coworkers who work for the county, if they don't have another income coming in, they have to either get a second job or take in a roommate, which is recommended by the commission. We are at least $10 to $15 less an hour than what's being paid by people in the city to work the same jobs. So the question is, where did that money come from to pay this administrator that kind of an increase?
Yeah. So the little guys don't get the increase, but the big dogs get that already make the big bucks get the big increase. And then everybody who has to pay for that, well, we don't get a cost of living adjustment. In fact, if anything, you could argue that the Democrat Gallatin County commissioners, by constantly raising your property taxes, are taking away your cost of living, right? They're making the cost of living harder and more expensive for you while they line their own pockets.
Absolutely. And there's an article in the Bozeman Chronicle that talks about where they got this money for the 6%. They were so gracious in giving us that. And so where does this money come from? And when people were at the forum, gave testimony opposing that raise, when that was done, one of the commissioners called them liars. So the information they gave them was, quote, untrue. It's just...
The other thing that's crazy about all this is, you know, when we had Democrat Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown join us on the show talking about, you know, how they were standing in the way of this agreement with ICE to get the illegal aliens out of Gallatin County in a more efficient manner. I wanted to give him the opportunity to respond to the criticism of him voting to raise his own pay. And he claimed that, well, if we want to raise the pay of sheriff's deputies, we have to raise the pay for all county officials. And that's actually not true. So he did not know what the current Montana law is, because that law was changed in 2021 to say, no, you can raise the pay of sheriff's deputies without raising your own pay, too. So either he didn't know the law or he was lying about it. Either way, he was wrong. That's the Democrat Gallatin County Commissioners for you. Jan, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks for getting the latest news on our radar there on that front. If you've got some news and information or commentary to share, give us a call right now as well, 294-0970.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Medicare has been around for a long time, and its spending excesses have not gone unnoticed over those decades. The fact that spending now has grown to approach $1 trillion per year testifies to the obvious fact that whatever has been tried to curb spending hasn't worked. That doesn't stop political leaders, when they stop ignoring it, to propose more of the same solutions. One is what you might call the don't touch a thing approach, except for payments to providers, which are squeezed to bring down spending. The other approach, equally unpopular, has been to push more copays and deductibles toward recipients in the hope that they'll be more careful with their spending. The utter failure of these and other top-down approaches has produced a see-no-evil, kick-the-can-down-the-road approach that simply ignores the train wreck that's clearly ahead. When spending can no longer be papered over, drastic changes to benefits or taxes or both will be forced upon us. There's got to be a better way. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. In 2010, the upstart Tea Party helped Republicans flip control of the House, grabbing a record 63 seats. But now Democrats wonder if angry voices torching Republicans is reminiscent of what they endured 15 years ago. Republicans have faced raucous meetings along with heckling and booing, even in red states and districts. GOP Iowa Senator Joni Ernst scored particular ire after she told her constituents that, quote, we are all going to die. She then doubled down, releasing a sarcastic video on social media, saying she failed to mention the truth fairy. January. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also waved off town meeting hecklers years ago. Former Democratic North Dakota Representative Earl Pomeroy says, quote, the party in power that laughs away or shrugs away overwhelming public response against a program will pay dues in the next election. The Supreme Court's 2010 Citizens United decision unleashed a torrent of corporate spending that flowed to Republican campaigns and right-wing groups. Today, some of the largest protests against the Trump era are organized by left-leaning organizations. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
On Tuesday's Montana Talks, we had Secretary of State Christy Jacobson join us for the full hour. Then on Wednesday, Dr. Mehrdad Kia talking about Israel and Iran. He is our expert on the Middle East at the University of Montana. Always incredible chatting with him. But with such a busy week, we got to leave the phone lines open for you. That's what we're going to do for Thursday's Montana Talks, taking your calls so you can be heard all across Montana with Montana Talks. Talks, the show where you get to talk statewide, 9 to 10.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, on Wednesday, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins launched an $8.5 million sterile New World screwworm fly dispersal facility in South Texas and also announced a sweeping five-prong plan to help enhance USDA's already robust ability to detect, control, and eliminate the pest. She said that these urgent actions are necessary to help finish the fight against New World screwworm and protect the United States and its livestock industry. Now, NCBA President and Nebraska Cattleman Buck Werbein was on hand and says that the only way to protect the U.S. cattle herd from the devastating threat of New World screwworm is by having a sufficient supply of sterile flies to help push this pest away from the U.S. border.
This is really important because ultimately what we'll do is overwhelm these little nasty things and with these sterile flies. So this is big for everyone and demonstrates Secretary Rollins' understanding of the urgency of this and the need to move quickly. And I had a good visit with her, and I come away from this feeling like we're in good hands with her guidance.
Now, key facets of USDA's five-prong plan to address New World screwworm include stopping the pest itself from spreading in Mexico and ensuring we're all full partners in eradication, protecting the U.S. border itself at all costs, maximizing our readiness, taking the fight to the screwworm, and innovating our way to eradication. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
I was raised by mountain roads from the smell of rain on dirt. Adventure didn't come with instructions. It came with sore legs, muddy jeans, and a camera roll full of places I never meant to find. Every corner of this state has something to say if you're willing to listen. And I've still got a lot of listening to do. Explore your state at visitmt.com.
Hi, this is Joe Goggins from Pays and BLS in Billings, Montana. As a livestock auction market owner and member of LMA, I believe it's time for our industry to align and drive meaningful changes that will safeguard a future for ranchers. I'm asking all who are hearing this to sign on to this effort as we work to achieve and maintain egg-friendly tax policy, improve risk management tools, access to labor, flexibility for livestock haulers, and create support for young and emerging livestock producers. Now is the time. Learn more and sign on at thecommongroundsummit.net.
Well, according to AgriPulse this morning, renewed conflict in the Middle East has shuttered urea production in Iran, sending ripples through global fertilizer markets and adding to existing uncertainty around Russian and Chinese supplies. Keep in mind that Iran was the third largest urea exporter in 2024, with export volumes of around 4.5 million tons, or about the size of China's. It's also a major exporter of ammonia. Now, global urea markets responded swiftly to stalled production in the Middle East. In fact, Gulf Coast urea prices were around $350 a ton at the end of last week, but opened this week above $410 a ton now. Now, the latest disruptions come as analysts are still trying to determine the scale and duration of a drop in Russia's urea production capabilities following a drone attack there last week. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, one of our listeners sent me this message on the Montana Talks app. Let's see. This one came in. Yesterday. When did this one come in? It was the Robbie Starbuck tweet. Oh, here we go. TC in Billings messaged us on the Montana Talks app after the show yesterday, later in the morning. TC said, get this to Attorney General Austin Knutson immediately. And of course, I'm sure the Attorney General and his team had already seen this big news. And really, it shouldn't be surprising news at all. But yet it is big news. Laura Ingram and Mike Davis with the Article 3 Project, I shared one quick soundbite from him, but they were making the point that this should not have been a 6-3 decision. This should have been a 9-0 decision. Nonetheless, as Robbie Starbuck pointed out, absolutely massive news. The Supreme Court upheld Tennessee's ban on sex changes, puberty blockers, and hormones for kids. Robbie Starbuck says, we won. It's now illegal to medically transition a child in Tennessee, and we set the precedent for the entire country. Now other states can safely ban these barbaric practices, too. And, of course, Montana has already done that, but we've got lawless left-wing judges standing in the way of really what is common sense, which just shows you how out of touch and how insane these liberal judges truly are. And the fact that three of these Supreme Court justices did not rule with common sense here just shows you just how insane these people are. Let's go to Robert in Belgrade. Robert, what's your thoughts?
Well, when you people are talking about this, the left is all in for underage children to mutilate their bodies and stuff, but these same people are, I'm sure, completely against any kind of animal testing, dogs, monkeys, probably mice, you can't do that.
Yeah, they were probably all in on when PETA was here protesting, you know, pork and protesting barbecue joints and steakhouses in Billings and Great Falls. They probably agree with PETA when it comes to, yeah, some of the animal testing. But then what a great point you make. But they have no problem experimenting on little kids.
Yep, you're right. Thank you.
Yeah, hey, thank you, Robert. Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number for you if you want to jump in on the conversation as well. By the way, TC and Billings sent me that message about, hey, get this to the AG. I did reach out to the Attorney General's team to see, hey, what does this mean for Montana's law that the Republican legislature and Governor Greg Gianforte signed into law? How can the U.S. Supreme Court decision impact that? So I'll let you guys know what we hear back. It may take some while because obviously, hey, they've got to read through this decision, etc. Let's see. Another message just came in on the Montana Talks app. Gasp! A government official trying to raise their own pay? What a surprise! It's people like this who have been ruining our country, putting themselves up of the story. Just heard about Juneteenth ending slavery. Thank you, Republicans. I mean, that's the major part of the story there, right? It's just the big part of the story. You want to talk about Juneteenth, you got to talk about what Republicans did to end slavery, don't you? All right. Anyway, let's jump back into it here. Speaking of Republicans, got a note from the RNC. They've got a great media team putting out their war room of information. So here you go. Rapid Response 47 on X shared the news. Supreme Court upholds Tennessee ban on transgender treatment for minors. Rapid Response 47
added this. Now let's pass the one big beautiful bill so taxpayers will no longer be forced to fund sex changes. Again, common sense. But anyway, the RNC pointing out in their, you know, war room memo here, every Senate Democrat has vowed to oppose President Trump's efforts to end taxpayer-funded child mutilation across America, and every House Democrat already voted against ending this atrocity. President Trump's one big beautiful bill revokes funds for so-called sex changes for children. And, of course, the Supreme Court upheld Tennessee's ban on the mutilation and castration of minors. Huge win in protecting the safety of American children. But, yeah, Democrats, my goodness, every single one of them back in D.C. voted to be able to mutilate kids and have taxpayer funds do it. Absolutely insane. Let's go back to Mike Davis on with Laura Ingraham last night.
Mike Davis, Article 3 Project founder and president. Mike, what are the implications of this? It was a 6-3 decision, which to most Americans watching tonight is like, how could this not be 9-0? But there you have it. That's where we are in the court right now.
It should be 9-0, but the three left-wing justices think that there is a federal constitutional right that prevents states from regulating gender mutilation surgeries on kids, pills and surgeries on kids. These are kids who are depressed. Maybe some of them are gay. Maybe some of them have gender dysphoria. Maybe it's social contagion. But these states have decided that they want to outlaw these procedures because these are life-destroying procedures on kids. And there is an industry growing around this where they're making a lot of money making these kids their guinea pigs.
Well, the ACLU, as you can imagine, Mike, very upset about this. One of the ACLU attorneys saying that people are basically fleeing because of these onerous rules.
All right, wait till you hear this soundbite from the ACLU and then the reaction from Laura and Mike Davis. That'll be just a quick 30, 40 seconds coming up right after this. And then we've got phone lines open for you and more.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Okay, what did I say I was going to get to right after the break? Now I started reading tweets and checking in on the Montana Politics Chest. I think we pretty much... Was there one other thing, Caden? Caden's probably like, man, I'm ordering donuts. I don't know what you said in that last segment. I thought, was there one other topic I was going to get to? Oh, I know what it was. Okay, all right, here we go. See, I told you guys yesterday, I get so easily distracted. But by the way, the quick, real quick, this was the tweet that just caught my eye here, the post on X. It deals with the very story we were just talking about. Here you go, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. He gave this reaction 14 hours ago. He says the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decisive ruling siding with states seeking to protect minor children from invasive medical treatments that can permanently alter their healthy developing bodies. A great win to protect children across Montana. So that was Governor Greg Gianforte's reaction. Of course, he is the governor who signed the bill into law protecting kids from these radical transgender experiments and more. The one other thing I know I said I would do real quick here. Mike Davis, Article 3 Project, along with Laura Ingraham last night talking about this Supreme Court case. Let's see. I forget where we left off, so let me just roll it.
Families in Tennessee.
Now I remember. Okay, so Laura teed this one up for us right before the break. So this is apparently a spokesperson for the ACLU. The ACLU wants to chop body parts off of kids. So listen to what this ACLU spokesperson is saying after the Supreme Court just protected kids from these radical transgender child mutilation programs.
Families in Tennessee Many of them are discussing potentially moving out of the state or moving out of the country, just based on what's been happening in Tennessee as well as, you know, throughout the United States, with a lot of the executive orders that are aimed at trans people.
Okay. Leaving the country, I mean, your European countries have said no to this because surgery, hormone blockers, yep, all the rest have had an inalterable effect on young people.
So let me see if I'm hearing this information accurately. Let me see if I've got this straight here. So these far left nut jobs that want to be able to chop that, well, you know what? These nut jobs want to chop off that of little kids. And they're now saying, well, if we can't chop body parts off of little kids, we're going to leave the country. Ding, 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 ding. Get the freak out of here. You are that nuts. You want to chop body parts off of kids. If you can't chop body parts off of kids, you're going to leave the country. Well, you know what? We've got way too many who came into this country these last few years who aren't supposed to be here. They need to get the heck out. So if you want to get the heck out, be my guest. Be my guest. Anyway, it's like, seriously. Yeah, and to Laura Ingraham's point, where are you going to go? Europe was already doing these insane experiments on kids. And Europe is like, oh, wow, that did not work out well at all. That actually was a lot worse for these kids that were already in a tough situation, and then we made it way worse. So anyway, that's my take. What's yours? Let's go to Nancy in Roundup talking about Israel and Iran. Nancy, what's your thoughts? Great to hear from you.
Oh, good morning. I'm on Tennant Talks. Well, that's wonderful news about Tennessee because, in other words, they're telling parents that their children actually do belong to them. They have the final say-so, and that's I'm ecstatic over this Supreme Court decision. But, yeah, I want to talk about Israel. I got a chance to talk to Dr. Murdoch Akiyev the other day on your sister station, and we discussed this. Ever since 1979, when the Hamas, this 7th century Islamic savage monopoly, this group, invaded Iran, they have oppressed the Iranian people. And so he, like I, believe that it's going to be the Iranian people who are going to rebel and to save their country from this terrible, terrible conflict between Israel and the Islamic Hamas. And the only thing I forgot to mention, ask him, was if they had enough weaponry to do this. But the only thing, I think, a side effect of this, and I'm hoping that Trump stays out of this. I want to see Israel fight this. If they need some help, okay, we'll help Israel, but I don't want to get involved in the conflict. The thing that I'm worried about is that if we invade, you know, Iran, will this inspire the Chinese to invade Taiwan? That's my basic fear is right there. What do you think, Aaron?
You know, that's a good question. You know, we got a chance, again, great to hear from you, Nancy. We got a chance, if you missed it yesterday, we had Dr. Mehrdad Kia on for the full 9 o'clock hour. I'll tell you what, I've known Dr. Kia since I was a college kid at the University of Montana. Just remarkable. And so if you missed that 9 o'clock hour, I would encourage everybody to go back and listen to it. Fascinating insight. The Russia-China question I thought was one of the more interesting things. Caden and I were talking about it earlier this morning because that was what Dr. Kia was saying. He's like, it's amazing to me how Russia and China are basically staying out of this because everybody, you know, the running theory was that, well, the running theory was that, well, okay, Iran's got all this, you know, this arsenal of rockets and missiles, and they could just unleash fury all across the Middle East, not just on Israel, but on American troop locations and the Arab nations that are on our side, et cetera. And they would just unleash a fury on everybody. And then Iran and then Russia and China would be, you know, working to prop them up. But this is the brilliance of President Donald J. Trump in this Middle Eastern tour that he went on just about 1 month ago that we also talked with Dr. Kia about is basically, look, yeah, does China, do they want to support their buddies in Tehran? Yeah. But are they so willing to help out their buddies in Tehran that they lose relationships with Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Oman, yeah, you name it. You go on and on down the list. And so yeah, China and Russia. And then Russia, I mean, Putin, and Dr. Key agreed with me on this one, that Trump has played Putin so well that look at how, you know, Putin is even basically staying out of this whole Iran thing right now. And Dr. Kia described the terrorists in Tehran, this regime, as what he's called before. He's long called them a paper tiger, where they pretend to be this big, bad, tough guy so that nobody will ever mess with them. And he also talked about why he did that. I should see if I can pull up that soundbite, because it sounds so much better in his words rather than mine. But I've got a write-up on our Montana Talks website right now. Let me pull up the quote. Here we go. Let's see the paper tiger quote in particular. Let me see here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, he said this. He says it's also the reason why Iran pretends to be so tough. It's not just about preventing anybody else in the world from stopping their nuclear weapon march. But he added this. He says, quote, it is also a strategy to psychologically defeat their own people and to create enough fear and terror that people would say, well, they're too overwhelming of a power to be challenged. And so now with Israel basically running the skies over Iran, and you know, and the people in Tehran listening to Donald J. Trump, that it's time to go. Has the paper tiger been exposed? That's basically the argument that Dr. Kia made yesterday. So pretty interesting insight. Now, will China now take advantage of an opportunity in the South China Sea? I guess you could argue that if assets are being moved to the Middle East, will that create an opportunity for China over there? But man, I don't know. I think China and Russia are seeing Donald J. Trump is on the freaking march, and he's not putting up with any of this BS. And I think America's enemies are figuring out, hey, not the time to be messing around. Let's see. Jesse Waters had this. President Trump will not be bullied.
Trump says, good luck with that. We won't be bullied.
I was the hunted, and now I'm the hunter. It's a big difference.
That means I've had it. Okay, I've had it. I give up. I'm no more. Then we go blow up all the nuclear stuff that's all over the place. No, they had bad intentions. You know, for 40 years, they've been saying death to America, death to Israel, death to anybody else that they didn't like. They were bullies. They were schoolyard bullies. And now they're not bullies anymore.
Trump's been meeting in the Situation Room with his national security team. Head of Central Command, Army General Eric Kurilla, they call him the Gorilla, has been instrumental in the war plan.
All right, hold that thought. More to follow. There's another great piece to what Jesse Waters was just about to tell you. I'll get to that next, but also we'll get to your phone calls. We've got Tim and Billings on the line next as well.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And now it looks like, you know, the president's demand for unconditional surrender is not going to be met. And there is now a moment of truth for the president. If you ask me, probably a week from now, the Iranian nuclear program is going to be gone. I mean, the inner circle of the supreme leader has been hollowed out. And thanks to, you know, Israel and their strength, it should be. I mean, how many hundreds of thousands of rockets should any one country take, all fomented by this sick, ugly, twisted, convert or die radical, you know, regime that believes in a mass holocaust and wiping Israel off the map and wiping the U.S. off the map.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays.
Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to the deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies for today, a late day shower storm is possible towards Bozeman. Otherwise, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-80s in Bozeman to the low 90s in Billings. For tonight, chance for scattered storms, especially towards Bozeman. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures back to the mid-50s to around 60. Chance for storms Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Hey, some great news to share with you. We had a caller call into the radio show. One of his company pickup trucks had just gotten stolen on the west end of Billings. He described the pickup on the radio. One of you, one of our Montana Talks listeners, spotted the pickup, contacted law enforcement. The vehicle has now been safely returned, and the thief has been busted by the BPD. That's a great news story. Thanks for your calls. Check out the story, MontanaTalks.com.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, Antifa Randy. Antifa Randy. I always call this guy Antifa Randy because he was, he had pro-Antifa stuff in his profile on social media. It's Randy in Great Falls. Man, this guy, like, if you go to facebook.com/Flint Report, it's like all of a sudden the radical left in Montana, now we're getting phone calls from Ken in Great Falls again. Now Antifa Randy is trolling on Facebook again. You know, Bernie and AOC flew in on their oligarch-funded private jet, and all of a sudden the liberals are like, okay, we'll come out of our bunkers and start trolling and complaining again, and we'll just pretend that November of 2024 never even happened. All right, let's see real quick. So back to Jesse Waters. You know, President Trump will not be bullied by terror threats from these Iranian proxies. And then Jesse Waters talked about, you know, the carrier groups moving into the Middle East right now, General Carrilla positioning things in the CENTCOM AO to be on standby, etc. Here was another back and forth with President Trump and a reporter at the White House.
Whether you are moving closer, or you believe the U.S. is moving closer to striking Iranian nuclear facilities, where's your mindset on that?
I can't say that, right? And you don't seriously think I'm going to answer that question. Will you strike the Iranian nuclear component? And what time exactly, sir? Sir, would you strike it? Would you please inform us so we can be there and watch?
I mean, you
don't know that I'm going
to
even do it. You don't know. I may do it. I may not do it. I mean, nobody knows what I'm going to do.
Oh, that was classic. All right, let's go to Tim in Billings. Tim, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron. So I saw a clip of Senator Sheehy on with that Wallace lady that has a resting bee face constantly. Somebody needs to, like, give her a volume or something to relax. I bet she grinds her teeth. She looks like she's grinding her teeth all the time. But anyways, what he said was very refreshing.
That's the fillers and the Botox. Oh, I'm just joking. I don't know.
Right. Ultimately, the Iranian people will decide whether there should be regime change. Because we could go in there, we could, you know, cause a war, we could install somebody, whatever. If the people don't want it, ultimately, it'll just be a disaster for us. So maybe what we ought to do is, instead of talking about dropping bombs and stuff, we ought to drop crates of firearms to their people. They can decide their own destiny. And while we're at it, we should put Lindsey Graham in there and they can put him front and center. Since that guy gets so giddy anytime the thought of sending American soldiers overseas to go fight somebody and die, that guy just gets giddy, and it's disgusting in my opinion.
No, I think Senator Tim Sheehy was spot on. Yeah, I've got that CNN that CNN clip that you're talking about, and he was on with Kayleigh McEnany on Fox News. He talks about how Trump is handling everything perfectly right now, letting Israel do what they need to do, and really the service they're providing to the whole world right now to prevent these terrorists from getting their hands on nukes. But we do not want to be the ones forcing regime change. We do not want to bog ourselves down in something like that. That is up to the people of Iran. And I played that soundbite for Dr. Kia yesterday, and Dr. Kia said he completely agrees with Senator Sheehy's remarks.
Isn't that what we want? What we would want as Americans for our own destiny is for us to decide it rather than some other more powerful country. You know, if there was another country that could come in here and overthrow our government and then dictate what our government was going to be after that, wouldn't we rather have our own self-fulfilling destiny rather than somebody else decide that for us?
You know, it's just basic common sense stuff. No, you're exactly right, Tim. I mean, case in point, when I was in Afghanistan, you know, we would meet with these village elders, you know, and hear their concerns. There was a massive road project that was being funded in eastern Afghanistan. And the locals were saying, well, how come all the workers on the construction project are not local workers? You know, can we get some locals hired to work on this construction project? And it's like, I'm like, man, I'm from Montana. We say the same thing in Montana. Why don't the locals get the job? So it's like, hey, it's some of this stuff is, if you just act like a regular, everyday, basic human being, it's just freaking common sense, right? Tim, thanks for the call. David Noble in next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Medicare has been around for a long time, and its spending excesses have not gone unnoticed over those decades. The fact that spending now has grown to approach $1 trillion per year testifies to the obvious fact that whatever has been tried to curb spending hasn't worked. That doesn't stop political leaders, when they stop ignoring it, to propose more of the same solutions. One is what you might call the don't touch a thing approach, except for payments to providers, which are squeezed to bring down spending. The other approach, equally unpopular, has been to push more copays and deductibles toward recipients in the hope that they'll be more careful with their spending. The utter failure of these and other top-down approaches has produced a see-no-evil, kick-the-can-down-the-road approach that simply ignores the train wreck that's clearly ahead. When spending can no longer be papered over, drastic changes to benefits or taxes or both will be forced upon us. There's got to be a better way. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.